Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
Who do you lie to the most? It's the question we posed last week, and we saw how King David did what we all do, which is lie to ourselves more than anyone else. And King David, after drifting into disaster through his self-deception, King David finally humbled himself and he prayed. He said, God, search me. God, know my heart. God, if there's any sin, if there's anything offensive in me, show it to me, God, expose it to me. David wanted God to shine the light on those hidden corners of his life that he wasn't able to see himself. Today, we're going to look at one of the biggest deceptions of all. The ancient lie that we keep telling ourselves over and over and over again. And that's this, that more is better. That more is better. Because if you have one, well, then two must be better. More money is going to chase away all my worries. More stuff is going to fill my emptiness. More toys, more shoes, more purses, more watches, more muscles, more square footage, more followers, more upgrades, more security, more control. In fact, who remembers the COVID days? You remember those? We don't want to remember those. What item did we hoard like our very survival depended on it? Right? We remember that? The toilet paper? All right, full confession here. I now keep 4 to 5 Costco-sized packages at all times. I'm still dealing with the trauma from COVID. More, because more is always better, right? We believe this lie so deeply that we build our entire lives on it and around it, and we don't even realize it. We pursue it. We chase it into our shopping carts, into our schedules, into our social feeds, and frankly, it starts to get exhausting. This lie, it's not new. It's as old as humanity itself. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Some of you might know the story. It's the story of Adam and Eve, and God had created Adam and Eve, and he created them to be in perfect relationship with God. And so Adam and Eve, they were provided for, and they were safe, and they were secure, and they enjoyed the beauty of God's creation and the beauty of the garden. And God told them, he said, listen, you guys can eat from any tree in this garden, any of them, except just one. I don't want you to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then what happened? The serpent slithered in. And he slithered in with this cunning question. And he said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, did God really say you can't have that? Did God really say you can't have that? And today, the devil is still whispering that same lie to us. If you had what was holding you back, you'd be like God. You'd be happy. You'd be content. You'd be fulfilled. What you don't have, that's exactly what you need. In other words, the lie he's telling us is that more is better. You can't escape the message. It's everywhere. Every ad you see, every algorithm curating your feed, every commercial break, every mindless scroll, every comparison on social media, every influencer's highlight reel, they all scream the same thing. What you don't have is what you need to make you happy, to make you fulfilled, to make you content. Why? Because more is always better. So here's the question I want you to sit with today. What if the stuff you have, the more, is keeping you from the life that God actually wants you to have? What if the more is keeping you from the better, the best of what God has for you? What if the more and the pursuit of more is choking out the best? if it's choking out the peace in your life? What if the pursuit of more is choking out your relationships, perhaps even your purpose? What if you and I were to embrace this core habit, the practice of simplicity? The Bible, it doesn't just call out this lie of Satan that more is better occasionally. It confronts it head on with story after story after story that shows us a better way. I'm just going to point out a couple verses this morning. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is on a ship. And he's on this ship that's in a violent storm. And the crew is terrified. The crew's so terrified, they actually think they're all going to die. Paul takes some time and he breaks bread and he gives thanks and he encourages them, man, you guys got to eat to keep up your strength. And in Acts chapter 27, verse 36, it says this, then they were all encouraged and they ate some food for themselves. And then the next verse says this, when they had eaten enough, everybody say enough. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. When they had enough, they got rid of what they didn't need. They ate what was necessary, and then with enough in their bellies, they lightened the load so that they could survive the storm. See, what is that? That's simplicity in action. Enough isn't about deprivation. Enough isn't about going without. Enough is the freedom from the weight of excess. It's the freedom from the weight of excess, and so, what's enough? What's enough? Enough is when you have what you need. Everybody say need. Enough is when you have what you, when you have what you need. That's it. When you have what you need, you have enough. And if you and I are going to practice this core habit of simplicity, what do we want to do? We want to train our hearts, and we want to train our hearts to say three simple words, and they're words that don't come naturally in our culture, abundance, our abundance-obsessed culture. You ready for the three words? Here they are. I have enough. I want you to say it with me. Some of you, this is going to be the first time you've ever said this. Ready? One, two, three. I have enough. This time I want you to say it in faith like you actually believe it. Try one more time, one, two, three. I have enough. I have enough. I have enough. The problem is now that you've said that, again, some of you for the very first time, you now have a little bit of a tension inside of you because this core habit of simplicity that says I have enough is contrary to what our life actually demonstrates. Because if I look at my actions and my shopping habits, and if I look at my packed schedule, and I look at my endless scrolling, my life is screaming the opposite of I have enough. We live like we don't have enough because our hearts have just bought into that deceptive mantra that goes all the way back to the beginning, that more is better. More is better. Now, God does something pretty interesting, pretty special, actually. He built into the daily rhythm of his people a practice of constantly being reminded of this core heart habit. What happened? Well, the Israelites had come, were just fresh out of Egypt. They're grumbling before God about more food. And God was very explicit with this concept of enough. And he told them in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, it says this, it says, the Lord says to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather, what's the word, gather? Enough, gather enough for that day. In fact, God even told them in verse 16, everyone is to gather as much as they, as much as they. You can gather as much as you need, no problem. Enough is when you have what you need. What was the result for them? Verse 18, when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Everybody say enough. Everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. Those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Enough having what you need. Enough having what you need. God literally designed enough into the daily provision system. So no hoarding. No stockpiling all the toilet paper for just in case. But some of them ignored God's instructions. And they continued to buy into the devil's lie that more is better. And so they tried to gather extra. More is better. What happened? The Bible said that the extra that they gathered, it all spoiled. So why did God set it up this way? Well, because hoarding more, it isn't just a practical problem. It's actually a core issue. It's a heart issue. And it's a heart issue and it's a core issue because there's usually something behind the more is better. And in fact, oftentimes it's rooted in fear. It's rooted in the fear of scarcity. It's rooted in the fear of not having enough for later, for tomorrow. It's rooted in the fear of not having control. So God wasn't merely feeding the Israelites' bodies. He was training their hearts, the core of who they were, to trust God daily. That's the transformative power of the core habit of simplicity. It shifts our dependence from our stuff, and it shifts our focus to God. In fact, Jesus picks up this exact thread in Luke chapter 12 when he tells this parable of a rich fool. And he tells a story about a man who has this massive harvest beyond what he actually needed. And the man had more than he needed, and instead of sharing it or instead of giving thanks, here's what the guy did. Jesus said, the man said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my extra, all my more, my wheat and my other goods. And then I'll just sit back and I'll say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, more is better. More is better. But God said to him, no. More is better means you're a fool. In fact, you'll die this very night. Then who's going to get everything that you worked for? Now, God wasn't calling him a fool because he was rich or because he was successful. He was calling him a fool because he was storing up more for himself. And he wasn't rich towards God or rich towards others. He wasn't trusting in God. He was trusting in himself and what he was able to accomplish. Those bigger barns, they didn't make him more content. You know what they made him? Busier. Busier managing the excess. The excess, by the way, according to Jesus here, that couldn't save his soul. More didn't fulfill him. It exposed the emptiness in his core. It exposed the emptiness in his heart. What he needed, what you and I need, is to practice the core habit of simplicity. Practice this habit, something that we develop. Now, to help you do that, what I want to do is I want to give you two what I believe are game-changing prayers that if you will pray these consistently, if you will pray these and actually mean them in your heart honestly, they're going to transform your core. They're going to transform your heart. And once you transform your heart, your core, that's what leads to a transformed life. So here's the two simple prayers. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. And God, give me more of what does matter. God, give me less of what just doesn't matter. But God, I want more of what actually does matter. And when you pray these prayers, now your heart will align with Jesus. And your heart will align with his teachings. And so what I want to do, I want to unpack these just a little bit this morning. First, let's unpack the first part of the prayer. God, give me less. Everybody say less. Give me less. Say less. Give me less of what doesn't matter. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, he said this. So don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. wherever your treasure is, the stuff that you're storing up, wherever that treasure is, that's where the desires of your heart, of your core, will also be. That verse right there hits at the core of this entire series. You see, what chases your heart, or what you chase, that's what's shaping your heart. That's what's shaping your heart. And what you prioritize, what you chase is prioritizing and focusing on your core. Whatever you're going after, whatever that is, your heart's going to be there. Whatever you prioritize, the core of who you are is going to be behind that. And if your treasure is in earthly stuff, chasing after more, guess what happens? Your heart, it's going to be tied to all the temporary stuff. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. Stop investing your heart in the temporary items that don't give you lasting security, don't give you lasting peace. And yet for most of us, accumulation, it's like our default goal. Bigger bank balances, right? We need that. We need that for security. Why? Because deep down, yeah, we trust God for our salvation, but we're not so sure we trust him for our retirement. So I need more. New outfits or gadgets or big ticket items. What is that when we chase that? It's different for everybody. For some people, it's just kind of some type of external validation because there's an internal emptiness. Another home remodel, again. Why? It's different for everybody. Whatever it is for you, you might be going after something because maybe it's a distraction from a relationship that's struggling. Maybe a marriage that's struggling. Maybe there's a family issue. Jesus is warning us, don't give your heart to storing up more of what doesn't last. More stuff, all that means is more stress. So if you want less of what doesn't matter, say less. If you want less of what doesn't matter, what do? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us this. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And how do we do this? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We do it by, as one translation says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's simplicity. That's simplicity. It strips off the weight of whatever it is that's slowing us down. We lighten the ship in Paul's case. We throw the extra overboard so that we can run our race. Whatever our race is, we can run that unhindered. What's the weight that's slowing you down? What's the weight for you that's hindering the race that God has for you? For some, that weight is physical stuff, right? It's the closets that are overflowing with clothes you haven't even worn. It's the garages that are so packed that the cars can't even get inside of them. It's the storage units that you've rented and you have no idea what's in the storage unit. I don't know if you know this, but in the United States, storing stuff at storage units, it's a $44 billion industry. At anywhere between, the average is anywhere between $185 and $135 a month. Average, so it's more or less. People storing up stuff. There's one person here I was talking to after service, and they were saying, hey, we have a lot of storage bins, and we have not bought a single storage bin in 10 years. And so anytime we have more, it means we have to do what? Get rid of something else. Some of us, that's like, we've never heard of that before. I thought the goal is more, because more is better. How many of you, don't raise your hand. Some of you, you're like, man, I would love to move. But some of you, the reason you're not moving is the dread of all the stuff you have. Like, you genuinely are like, I'm ready to move, but you're like, I have so much stuff, I don't know what to do. And so you can't even do what you want to do because of more. More is better, so we're told. For some of us, it's not stuff, physical stuff, it's more digital clutter. the endless notifications that are pinging on our phones. For me, I have not had my phone on a ringer or any of that, or getting any sounds or notifications. I haven't, for me, it doesn't mean it's for you, but for me, I haven't had those on for years. If I don't see someone call me or text me, then I don't know what happened unless I go check it out later. And some of you are like, oh, now that explains it. It's been 2 days. My phone's not in charge. But for some of us, the digital, the endless notifications, man, we're so caught up in that. You know what it does? It keeps the noise going in our life. And that feeds your soul in a restless way rather than in a calm way. For some, the heaviest weight for you that's weighing you down is your schedules. You're so overcommitted. You don't really remember the last time you had good quality time with God. You don't remember the last time you actually had good family time. And we wonder why we feel so anxious, why we feel so disconnected. We wonder, hey, why do I feel so spiritually dry? Why? Because we've bought into the lie that more is better. In fact, for some of us, the most spiritual thing we could do is to create a don't do list. Rather than the to-do list, like say, hey, here's some of the things I'm not going to do. Say no to some good opportunities so that you can say yes to God's best for you. The only way we truly let go of these weights, Hebrews tells us, is to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is so much better than any of these temporary fixes. He's where the joy is. So say yes to Jesus. Strip off the weight. Throw it overboard. God, give me less. Everybody say less. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. And the second part of the prayer is, God, give me more. Everybody say more. If you're going to have more, let's have more of what actually does matter. Less of what doesn't and more of what does matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6 captures this beautifully. It says this. It says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better with one handful. Better with one handful than having two handfuls where there's going to be stress and toiling that you go after. Better with less so you can have margin, right? So you have room to breathe, so you have room to connect. Better with margin than more, where there's the constant strain, where there's the constant exhaustion. I want you to think about this for a moment. If both of my hands are full, guess what that means? If both of my hands are full, it means that I don't have a free hand. Both my hands are full, I don't have a free hand. Better is one handful than two handfuls. Because better is one handful, because if I have one handful, what I need, then that leaves me what? A free hand. What can I do with a free hand that I can't do with two handfuls? Well, I can hold my wife's hand. I can give somebody a hug. I have a free hand so that I could use that to serve. I have a free hand so I can worship God. All hail King Jesus. If my hands are focused on all this, I can't focus on Jesus because I'm focused on maintaining all that, all the toil and strife. When you have two hands, well, I'm occupied. When I have two hands full, guess what? I don't see you. I only see this. I got to manage all this. But when I have one hand full, oh, I'm cool. I'm good. Let's go. I can shake your hand. High five you. Give you a hug. Be connected to you. Better is one handful than chasing after two and all the toil and all the hardship and all the heartache. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. and God, give me more of what doesn't or what does matter. And so to have more of what does matter, guess what we need to do? We need to actually define what matters most to us. What actually matters to me? Not what's loudest in my life, not the notifications, not the what's urgent on my calendar. What matters most to me? If you don't define that, if you don't make a choice, then I can guarantee you culture will come after you and make that choice for you. And culture will define it for you, and it will tell you more, 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 get more, get more, get more. The consumerism, the comparison to others and what they have, and hey, they have two, I only have one, I should go get two. That constant hustling that we're going after and the busyness. So this week, I want to challenge you. Write down what matters most. What matters most that actually aligns your heart with God's heart for your life. When I reflect on all those years that we were blessed to have our kids at home, you know what I don't remember? I don't remember all the stuff I bought them. I don't remember what at the time was the latest toys and gadgets. They just ended up in the trash or the garage sale anyway. I don't remember all those extra hours that pulled me away from bedtime stories and family dinners. You know what I remember the most? What sticks with my soul is the moments we had together, the time we had together, because what mattered to me? Family matters to me. Like when my boys were little, and we used to play this game together, and I would lay on the floor in the living room, and we had this big giant blue pillow, and I'd put it over me and kind of had to protect myself. And so I put it over me, and they started all the way down at the entry of the house. And they ran on down, and then they came in, and they threw their arms up, and they just body slammed me together. I'm telling you, I don't remember all the gadgets, but I can picture that like it was yesterday. And the fun and the laughter and the giggling and the tackling, and it was just pure joy. It was priceless. I wouldn't have traded it for anything. And as they got bigger, I needed more pillows for protection. And there came a point where there weren't enough pillows. And so we moved on to new games. Priceless. The family moments, the vacations, all those years, we would go out. Our family vacations were camping in tents. You know, that's what we could afford. All those memories, camping out at Lake Berryessa. So many great memories. That memory, one time we were at Yosemite, and it was the only time we ever went there as a family, and we were so excited to be there, and we're in our tents, and we're out over at the table eating dinner, and we hear the sound, and over there we see this bear. And it has our cooler. And the cooler is in the bear's mouth. It had chomped down on that cooler. And so we all freaked out and we ran behind the car. And we were like, where's Cameron? And Cameron was like 10 feet away from the bear on this rock. And we're like, Cameron, don't move. And we remember this, and he's just sitting there staring at this bear, and eventually it went away, and we grabbed the cooler. We kept that cooler for years. It was so cool, man. This is where the bear ate our food. And we just laughed about it, and we loved it. Listen, it wasn't all these fancy hotels and expensive gear that made those moments memorable for us. It was just adventure, the screaming, the togetherness. What matters? What matters? For me, family matters. Those connections, those laughs, those shared experiences for us, man, those are eternal. What matters for you? It might be your relationship with God and carving out time to be in His Word and be in prayer daily. The last couple of years, I've been reading the one-year Bible, and this year, I just have found myself, because being in God's Word, I've just loved it, and I've changed up some habits to give myself more time, and it didn't even have to cost me more time. I just shifted less of what doesn't matter, which was just, you know, watching mindless items on YouTube TV or YouTube, and just take some of that same time I already devoted to something else and give more time to what does matter. Next thing I know, we're still in the month of January, and I just looked. I'm like on day 93 of the one-year Bible. Because I just start reading. I'm like, I'm going to keep going. And let's go, okay, now I'm good, and I'll get on to the other stuff. Less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. Maybe for you, it's your marriage. And that's what matters. And you say, man, I need to invest in date nights. I need to invest in some counseling to build our relationship stronger. Maybe for you, it's your kids, and you're like, man, I need to prioritize my family and my kids. Maybe for some of you, it's your health. And for you, it's time to prioritize resting. For you, maybe it's prioritizing, hey, health-wise, I just need to start moving more. For some of you, it might be your sobriety. Guarding that hard-won freedom. What matters to you? Is it your calling? God has put something on your heart, this holy discontent, and you're not happy with the way something is, and you're like, I need to step into that and let God use me to make a difference. Maybe it's your friendships. And it's like, man, I need to spend more time on nurturing the relationships that matter to me. Maybe for some of you, it's your peace. Because the reality is your soul is filled with so much noise. And you're like, what matters is that I get some peace in my soul. Is it the eternal stuff? Those items where you're like, hey, my family doesn't know Jesus. My friends don't know Jesus. I want them to know Jesus. And in my sphere of influence, man, I'm going to start praying more for them. And I'm going to look for those spiritual conversations and those God conversations. More of what does matter. And less of the trivial. Here's what I do know. When life hits you hard, and I don't know what it'll be for you, but when life hits you hard, maybe you're there in a hospital bed. Maybe you're facing a job loss. Maybe you're navigating betrayal. Maybe you're battling with anxiety. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Maybe you're watching your kids struggle. Whatever it is for you, when you're in some type of crisis moment, here's what you're, when you're in those moments, I know what you won't be thinking. You will not be thinking, I wish I had more followers. You are not going to be thinking, I wish I had upgraded my kitchen again. You're not going to be thinking, oh, I wish I had that 100-inch TV for the Super Bowl. No way. What you'll want in those moments is more of what does matter. You'll want more of Jesus. You'll want more of joy that he offers and the peace that he offers. You will want more of his presence. Psalm 84, verse 10 puts it poetically. It says, better is one day in God's courts than 1,000 elsewhere. One day with God. One day with his presence is so much better than two handfuls without God. God, give me more of what does matter. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 4. He said, he was in jail when he wrote this. He said, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. And he said, man, I learned the secret. Here it is. I can do all this through him, more of him, less of what doesn't matter. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul didn't say it. This core habit came easy, or he just figured it out overnight. He said, I had learned the secret. You and I don't drift into the core habit of simplicity. You choose it. You choose it daily. You go after it. And Paul says this. He says that Jesus alone is the one who's going to satisfy that deepest hunger of our heart. And that's why Paul could be content with more, he said, or with less. His peace wasn't tied to what he had, it was tied to who he had. Which is why this phrase that I've shared with you, I have enough, it's actually incomplete. It's missing the most important part, the part that Paul discovered. Paul discovered, because I have Jesus, I have enough. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. I want to encourage you this week. constantly feed your soul and say, because I have Jesus, I have enough. When I have plenty, Paul said, I have Jesus. When I don't have anything, I still have Jesus. When I'm struggling, okay, but I still have Jesus. When life is calm, great, but I still have Jesus. When the storm is raging, okay, but I still have Jesus. That's the power of less. It creates more space in our lives for Him. The reality is, for some of us, you do have Jesus. He's just in the back burner. He's just in the background of your life. And I want to invite you to listen to Jesus' words. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and live righteously, and He'll give you everything you, what's the word? Everything you need. Oh, does that harken back to our story talking about the Israelites in the desert with the manna? You can have enough for what you need. You seek God. He's your priority. Less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. That's fixing our eyes on Jesus. And when we do that and we're seeking Him and we're seeking His kingdom, God will give what you need and you will have enough. So this week, would you be willing to pray these two simple prayers? Would you pray them and actually mean it? God, give me less of what doesn't matter. God, give me more of what does matter. And then just take one practical step. You're going to say less of what doesn't matter or more of what does matter. That means you're going to take a practical step towards the core practice, heart habit of simplicity. You're going to lighten your ship. You're going to toss something overboard. Because your heart and your soul is going to be focused on Jesus. Less of that, what doesn't matter, and more of what does matter. Would you be willing to pray that this week? God, give me less of what doesn't matter. God, give me more of what does matter. Just keep your eyes focused on Jesus when you do it, and you will then have room in your life for Him and His purposes for your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank You, God. God, thank You for exposing the lie that more is better, because it's not better. God, thank You for showing us that You're enough. And so, God, I ask, God, I pray that You would give each and every person here the courage, God, to throw overboard the stuff that doesn't matter, the stuff that's weighing people down. And God, help them to cling to what lasts forever. So right now, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer and simply say this, Lord, because I have Jesus, I have enough. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. God, hear the cries of our heart. May our lives reflect the simplicity and contentment, God, that's found only in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.